This is the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Discover how to enhance your reputation as an attorney and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.
Good afternoon. This is Tracy Murdo with Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast. I'm here on behalf of Richard Jacobs, and today I have a wonderful guest, Attorney Todd Spodek of the Spodek Law Group. Todd is a high-powered criminal defense attorney practicing in New York State. Todd, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Tracy. Thanks so much for having me on the program.
So I would love to get a little bit of an insight or sneak peek into your brain and your experiences in practicing law, and tell me a little bit about the Spodek Law Group. When did you open? What was sort of your passion and vision behind opening your own law firm?
Sure. So Spodek Law Group was actually initially opened in 1976 by my father, and over the years the firm grew, and about 10 years ago I took over the practice and took control of the law firm. And Spodek Law Group is a boutique law firm focusing on criminal defense both at the state and federal level, as well as family court and matrimonial litigation in New York City.
Okay. So Todd, at the time, you know, 10 years ago or so when you decided that you were ready to take over, what was it about that, you know, time frame or where you were at in your career that said, all right, I'm ready to handle this? Because that's a pretty big, you know, task to take on.
Absolutely. Well, I think that we were able to provide a service to our clients that was unparalleled in the current market. It was basically the big firm experience with the small firm intimacy. We get to know all of our clients very personally. We spend a lot of time with them, and they appreciate that we're here 24 hours for them, not only as their advocates in court, but also as their friend and advisor to help them through the process.
Mm-hmm. How much do you rely, or did you at least when you started out, rely on your firm's history and, you know, the fact that obviously the firm started so long ago and it had obviously a good reputation? How much did that come into play into the success of where you are now?
You know, I think that certainly having a long stake in the community and having some history to back you up helps. But at the end of the day, New York City is filled with so many law firms all competing in the same space. I think it's really about what you're providing to your customers, to your clients now, that matters. And I think that over time, you know, we've been fortunate to have a client base that personally refers our services to other clients. And as I'm sure you know, that really is the best way to market a law firm, at least in the beginning, and then to build on that with traditional marketing techniques.
So what you're saying is for you, it was a lot of referrals, word of mouth, kind of grassroots marketing to start out before you, you know, were able to start employing, you know, sort of the marketing with perhaps a marketing budget behind it.
Exactly. Basically, you know, my experience has been the hands-on grassroots marketing builds the initial level of any small business, whether it be a law firm or a dry cleaner or a liquor store. And from that, you could grow to a larger business by having the appropriate infrastructure and by spending money on marketing and branding and getting your name out there. The truth of the matter is, if the public at large doesn't know you, doesn't get your message, you blend in with all your competition, and for all intents and purposes, you don't exist.
Man, especially in New York City, that has got to be a tough market to cut yourself out of and kind of stand out, I would think.
Absolutely. There's new graduates every year coming into the legal market. In the criminal defense realm, you're not at a fair market because obviously there are public defenders and there are a number of services in New York for indigent clients. So the clients that are privately hiring lawyers have a lot to choose from, and a lot of instances they're going to choose a firm that not only has a history of giving results, but that is going to be there for them and their family every step of the way, from the initial investigation to the arrest to the prosecution to the trial to the appeal and any collateral issues whatsoever.
Sure. Todd, what do you find were, you know, obviously someone out of law school or even at a firm now has sometimes the option of going with a bigger law firm versus either starting out on their own or joining a small firm. What do you see as sort of the pros and cons of each side of that?
Sure. So since I've taken the realm, I'm sorry, since I've taken control of the law firm here, we've expanded considerably. So I do have experience, you know, with new associates and bringing them into the fold. I think that at the appropriate small firm, you're able to really gain significant trial experience early on. And in a lot of big firms, that just does not happen. You're going to be in the office all day long. You're going to interact with clients very seldomly. You're not going to get that hands-on experience that a small firm can offer you. Here, whether you've been here for 5 years or one day, you're going to play a role in every case, and that role is going to be significant.
How do you find good clients, or how do they find you?
That's an excellent question. So we're fortunate to get referrals from lots of attorneys and judges and from other previous clients as well as our marketing efforts. And the truth of the matter is we try to be straightforward from the get-go. So I speak to all of my clients honestly, and I try to give them practical advice as to how the case is going to progress. And if you have a client who accepts that advice, then that's someone who it's going to be easy to work with, whether it's negotiating a high net worth divorce or weighing the options, whether you're considering a plea bargain or going to trial in a criminal case. You want a client to trust to some degree that the attorney has their best interest at heart and that the decisions they're making need to be done together with an eye on the ultimate result. Meaning if you have a very bad criminal case with a long-term investigation and overwhelming evidence, and you think it's in the best interest of your client to consider a plea bargain, you want to have a client who's going to understand that that decision didn't arise easily and that a lot of thought and a lot of effort went to it and that they're going to work with you to get that result. You don't want someone who's going to disregard whatever you say and wind up being more of an adversary than united in interest.
Mm-hmm. Ted, what do you find to be the biggest pain points in getting new clients? Is it cost? Are they looking at reputation? What do you find kind of goes into someone making a decision?
Well, I think that you first have to obviously get the clients in the door. So whether it's through word of mouth or advertising, you need to somehow get the client into your office. Once they're here, if you have a good rapport with them and you can explain their options for whatever legal matter it is that they're consulting you on in a straightforward, practical way, I think the next step is a lot easier. So once they're here, you could convert them to actual paying clients much easier. However, that being said, you know, there is a lot of competition. There is a lot of price matching. There is a lot of shopping around. So the best clients, going back to your earlier question, are the ones that particularly want you. They're the ones who are going to spend the money necessary to build a defense or to litigate a divorce, and they're going to want to work with you. Whereas if you have clients who are shopping around and looking to just cut costs wherever they can, that's totally a fair position, and I respect it, but they may not have the funds necessarily to get the results they want. If you want to do a custody trial, you need to have the funds to get an expert to really build a proper case. If you're trying to cut costs as much as possible, you can't expect a law firm to provide the services that you need to get the results.
So would you say it's fair to say, especially in law and when it comes to an attorney, that you get what you pay for, in a sense? I mean, if you're looking for the cheapest, you're going to maybe get the cheapest service as well.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, the legal field requires diligence. It requires an abundance of time. It requires research. And time is money for anybody in any service. And if you don't have the funds to allow a lawyer to do his job, then that may not be the perfect relationship. So although we want to help everyone who comes through our doors, we need to allocate for our time as well. So if someone comes to me and says, this is what I'm trying to do, I may say, you know what, I don't think this is a case we could handle within that budget because we're not going to have the resources we need to get the result you want. And that's a very, you know, hard thing to do, and it's very hard for clients to understand because they don't want to hear that, right? They want to hear that you're going to get everything they want and it doesn't matter about the money and everything is going to be beautiful. But in my practice areas, everyone who walks in my door is mad about something because they're either getting divorced, they're either having a dispute about custody, they're being investigated for fraud, they're being charged with murder. It's not transactional closings and other things where people are happy. These people are upset to begin with. So it's very important to manage their expectations, and it's very important to be transparent about the cost of defense or the cost of prosecuting an action.
So, Todd, how do you close a sale? So you have someone in your office, you've met with them, they're now on their way out the door. What sort of follow-up techniques or closing techniques do you employ that seem to work for you?
Sure. So, you know, like I said, we receive leads from a lot of different places. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I find to be helpful is I track the leads I receive, and I stay in touch with the clients that I think we're going to be a good fit. So if someone contacts me and says, hey, I'm thinking about retaining your firm to represent me on a violent crime, let's say, and it's a case where I believe we have a good shot of winning a trial and it's someone I want to work with, I'm going to stay in touch with them and I'm going to be available to them when they need me to be available, whether that's by phone, by text message, by email, in person, in my office, in a coffee shop. It's all irrelevant to me because we want to work together. I want to work with them and they want to work with me. However, it is highly likely that they're consulting a number of attorneys. So if you don't stay relevant and you don't stay in the game, they may forget you. They may forget about your firm and about the services you provide. So I do think some follow-up is imperative. I don't necessarily advocate of like a Salesforce approach of nonstop emails and texts and calls and things like that. But I think there's a subtle and appropriate way to stay in touch. And it could be as simple as a text message saying, hey, I just want to check in to see if you've decided on an attorney. I'd like to get started sooner than later if we are going to represent you.
What do you think are the things that have made your firm as successful as it is today and you as a criminal defense attorney?
I think that we've been fortunate to have a lot of high-profile cases where we have obtained significant results for our clients. I think that our clients really appreciate the personal service that we provide. Our firm operates 24 hours. There's always someone on staff to accommodate our clients. We meet clients in their houses. We meet clients at restaurants. We meet clients at events. We really have a closer relationship with our clientele than most other firms. And that's the type of relationship that people cherish, that people send Christmas and holiday cards to and invite to weddings and birthdays and things like that. And that differentiates us to some degree, and it also allows those clients to feel connected to our firm in a way they may not with, say, their bankruptcy attorney or their attorney for wills and probate issues. It's a very unique relationship. In one way or the other, their life is in our hands.
Are there any final words of wisdom that you'd like to share with other attorneys who, you know, maybe already are out there and are struggling or are thinking about maybe going to start their own smaller firm?
I think that the legal field is a competitive, cutthroat field. Whether you're in New York City, you're in a small town, whatever it is, there's a lot of competition and you have the opportunity to make the most of your career, but it's on you. Nobody is going to sort of provide endless opportunities. You have to spearhead your own path. I think finding a firm that's the right fit for you and your personality is a very important aspect to starting out as a lawyer. So, for example, if you're looking for trial work, if you're looking to be in court every day and deal with judges and clerks and clients, then my firm is the appropriate fit for you in that role. If you're looking to do litigation and research and subpoenas and discovery motions and things like that, then my firm may not be the perfect fit because that's not something that someone does exclusively. They're in court, out of court, things like that. So you need to find a firm that meets your goals and you could build together. I mean, whatever strengths you have is something the firm needs and vice versa.
Well, I really thank you for your insight and advice, Todd. This is some great information that I believe will really help a lot of attorneys out there. So I want to give a special thanks to attorney Todd Spodek of Spodek Law Group in New York City. Todd, I hope to have you join us again and maybe check in and let us know what's all new with you and any new advice you obtain.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the show.
Have a good one, Todd.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Call 888-225-8594 or email rj@speakeasymarketinginc.com to enhance your reputation and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.